This cassette tape contains Bible teaching regarding revelation and end time truth by David Ebal.
Our subject tonight is marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Now, the reason that I wanted it to pick particularly tonight is that last week we took the subject of spirit, soul, and body. This week we'll discuss marriage. We'll discuss mating. Mating in spirit, mating in soul, and mating in body. We'll talk about all these subjects. Now, naturally, whenever you get in a subject like marriage, divorce, and remarriage, it's going to be pretty sensitive, isn't it? And whatever I have to say tonight will be based, Lord willing, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, not directed at any particular person. See, I'm not thinking about any person here. I'm going to be talking, Lord willing, directed by the Holy Spirit. Now, I said before, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Did you hear me? There is no condemnation. However, we in society hold certain sins in condemnation for the whole lifetime, the whole period of a life. And I want you to understand that there is no condemnation, and you'll see that as we get into it. First, and if maybe you, there could be folks here who have been married, divorced, and remarried. And if you're here in that situation, I don't want you to get upset. Don't want you to get worried. I'm not going to condemn you. Lord, you know, what did Jesus say? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Okay. Genesis 1:27 starts the subject out. I think I'll start with 1:26. We'll get 26 and 27. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. And had dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God then created man in his own image, and gave man dominion over everything. Now in chapter 2, verse 18, we find another creation. And God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them into Adam to see what he would call them. Whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. Must have been a very brilliant man. Tremendous mind of named all the creatures. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. Now this deep sleep is the same sleep that we find other times as death. Jesus said, you know, they're not dead, but they sleep. Remember that? All right, same thing. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, I want to pick up the section on one flesh, because Jesus quoted this particular thing in Matthew 19. Jesus, referring to the institution of the marriage, referred to this. And we'll go to Matthew 19, verses 4 and 5. I suppose maybe 6. And he answered and said unto them, this is Jesus speaking now, have you not read, I'm in Matthew 19, verse 4. Jesus speaking, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave a father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, there are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Now, we're talking about marriage. We're talking about a marriage relationship and this one flesh relationship. 1 Corinthians 6 describes, I think, pretty exactly what this relationship is, so that there's absolutely no question in anybody's mind. It's in 1 Corinthians 6. I'll start with 12, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 6, wherein we're talking now about the one flesh relationship between men and women. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, Paul is saying, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. God hath both raised up the Lord, and will raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined in the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? Ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Verse 17 says, he that's joined unto the Lord is one spirit. The joining in the flesh or sex realm is in the body realm. That's marriage. Now, marriage or unions occur in three realms. Remember now, we're triune beings. Spirit, soul, body. Verse 17 says the joining with the Lord is in the spirit. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in what?
Spirit
and truth. Therefore, this union is with God. And a perfect, a balanced person is in union with God in spirit. Their spirits then are in a union relationship. You see what I'm driving at now? not in a sex realm, obviously, but it's still a union. They're one. So that in the body realm, that's well understood. I guess we all understand this union in the body realm, and it defines it in Corinthians, this one flesh, as a sexual union. The spiritual union takes place with God. Say that again. God said, I am a jealous God. I'll have none other before me. You do not marry each other in spirit. I'll say that again. Your spirits between man and wife do not unite. The spirit unites with God, who gave it in the first place. And a peculiar thing about God is that even the gender of the word God or Elohim is both masculine and feminine in its gender. You see what I'm driving? See, so that then a man or a woman doesn't need to worry about that, for it's a masculine-feminine entity, you see, and you can join together in spirit, and spirits do not unite. That becomes very important. For if your spirits do unite, it will be with an unclean spirit or something wrong. God is a jealous God. He'll have no other gods before him. So that in the spirit realm, the uniting is with God. Then we're going to talk about uniting in soul. And of course, the Bible has got a lot to say about uniting, or a union in flesh, the flesh relationship, or marriage relationship. Now, any questions so far before I get much deeper into this? Did that bring a question or two? All right, we'll go on. Genesis 24 identifies a marriage, and in this particular marriage, we look for the vows and the ceremony. Genesis 24:63. And Isaac came. No, I'll go to 63. Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. He lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming, and Rebekah lifted up her eyes. When she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. Now, the story of this is that Abraham had sent his servant Eliezer back to Haran, I believe that's the name of it, where Abraham was from, to pick a wife for his son Isaac. Do you remember the story? And there he met a girl at the well, Rebekah. And Rebekah offered to water, not only get him water, but water for all the animals. And this was his sign, for he'd asked God for a sign of confirmation, who it was and where he should stay. Do you remember all this? And then finally, he got consent, and he brought this girl back to marry Isaac. So, when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, 64. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it's my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Pretty simple ceremony. He just took the girl into the tent, and they got married. And that was the end of the ceremony. Not too long ago, some people came to me, I forget who it was, but someone said, we want to know where it says here that you're supposed to have a ceremony and have give vows, you know, and have a preacher. And surely there's something in the Bible that tells us to have vows and to have a preacher and to have a church wedding. So I began to look. And I looked and I looked and I looked. It isn't there. There is no commandment. In fact, there are no vows even that where we're told to exchange. This then would be a commandment, tradition, a commandment of men. Do you see what I'm driving at now? So then the marriage was consummated in the tent in a sexual union, and that was the consummation of the marriage. However, there's more to the marriage than that. Because Isaac knew full well, it was announced publicly, that Eliezer was going for his wife, going to bring back a girl to be his wife. So there was a public announcement. There was more than just meeting somebody and you take them in your tent and that's it. There was a betrothal. Do you remember that Mary was a spouse to Joseph? And apparently they'd been a spouse for quite a long time. In fact, before they came together, she was found with child. Remember that. So that there was a long period of espousal when there was a promise to be married. Now, it's also interesting to notice that the promise to marry, this espousal or this betrothal, constituted back then the legal contract. And the dowries were given, exchanges were made in money, and sometimes cattle and other things, and there were bargains for the girls. And I remember Laban, really, he drove a hard bargain, you remember? He said 7 years' work. You remember all this? And there was a betrothal there, a seven-year promise. And then he slipped one over on old Esau. You remember all this? So that, now these are the way things were done back then. We also have to understand that life wasn't the same back then that it is now. We have quite a complicated life in comparison with the way it was back then. Did you notice here that Rebecca put a veil over her face? For this was the technique. This was the way it was done. In fact, if you've been through Israel, you know that most of the women look like tents. I mean, they look like black tents walking down the street. That's what a woman looks like. I mean, you can't see anything about her. You know it's a woman because it looks like a walking tent. That's all you know about the woman. You can't tell anything more. And so it was back then. Women were very secluded. They didn't have any contact at all. Now, really, back then, men didn't have much contact either, you know. The only contact they had was with their wives and, you know, the sheep and the goats and the cows and whatever else there was around. And every once in a while, a camel train would come by, and that was such an exciting time that all the work stopped, you know, when a visitor would come through. In fact, they said back then that you were even to entertain strangers you might even entertain an angel as unawares. See what I'm driving at? So then, this marriage isn't the same as our marriage. The techniques and the procedures and all. Now remember that we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we're living in a body. And all three portions of a complex man need to unite. We need to unite in all three areas. The uniting of the Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians 6:17, is with God. For God is a Spirit, and the union is then with God. The spiritual uniting is with God. If we find every once in a while a man who sets his whole spirit toward his wife, or a wife who sets her whole spirit toward her children, then watch out. You're headed for trouble. God might remove that one from the scene. God is a jealous God. He'll have no other gods before Him. And our spirits, now, I remember that some people after their children die, because they're very serious and love their children. I know one lady who began to seek spiritual mediums in order to raise that dead child and have further conversations, you know, with that dead child. Then the spirit was seeking the spirit. You see what I'm driving at? And of course, then God doesn't like that. He won't have it. He'll have no other gods before Him. For the spirit must unite with God. You see why it's even wrong to seek to raise dead spirits through seances and mediums and all that, because really, when you're doing that, there's plenty of proof that you're looking not for God, but for another spirit, for some other counterfeit for God, some other thing to which to put your love and devotion to. In the realm of the spirit, our spirits must unite with God. John 4:24 is the scripture that you want to write down for that one. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now that was a... This has something to do with uniting. In fact, Jesus was talking with a woman who had been united 5 different times with 5 different men in the flesh, for she had had 5 husbands. And He said, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou saidest truly." And the subject here is uniting, and the subject here is uniting in flesh. And she said, "Now our fathers worshipped in this mountain. You say that Jerusalem's a place where men ought to worship." And Jesus said, "Now, woman, pay attention about this uniting and worshiping. The hour cometh when you'll neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is from or of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in..." What? Spirit and truth. The Father seeks us to worship Him. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in what? Spirit and in truth. So then, this union that, you see, He's talking with a woman who was seeking union, and seeking union in as many ways as she could. Now He took to her the true union and said, "I am the Christ." And then she went to the others and said, "Come and see a man who told me everything that I ever did, and promised to give me out of a well, not the water that I'd get thirsty after I drunk, but a water that I'd never thirst again." Now you see, this thirst is an unquenchable desire. Now this woman had such an unquenchable desire. 5 men couldn't satisfy her, and I don't suppose that was the end of it either. And she was searching out, reaching out because of her desire. And He said, "Now, I know what your desire is. Really, your desire is in spirit." And because she couldn't identify spirit, soul, and body, and she knew she had a need and it wasn't being fulfilled, she was reaching in all realms. And so it is with some of your relatives and friends and so forth. Lots of these people who are in triangles, love triangles and this kind of thing right now, are searching desperately for something to fulfill. And without, and of course that doesn't fulfill in the body realm. And really Jesus said, now He hit the nail right on the head. He says, "Here's the way to get fulfilled. You want to be fulfilled? You want to have water that you'll never thirst again?" He says, "The water that I'll give you, why, that, you know, you'll never thirst again." And she says, "Give me the water." And He says, "I'm the Christ." And she believed it, and she went and told all her friends, and they came then, and they got saved too. Do you remember the story? But it was a quench. It was to quench an unfulfilled desire and a thirst. Are you seeing what I'm driving at? And so it is in the natural, physical, or body realm, there is a thirst or an unfulfilled desire, and so you go after that desire to meet that desire. But really, that's a reflection of a more basic desire, that basic desire of the spirit to unite with God in worship. Are you really uniting with God? There's one mediator between God and man. Who is it? The man Christ Jesus. So if you're going to get your spirit to unite with God, it has to be through Jesus Christ. And so He began to meet with this woman, who could then see the truth of this uniting, not with 5 different men or 6 or 10. And by the way, I don't care how many wives or husbands you've had. Really, I don't. I don't care if you're like Elizabeth Taylor. I don't know how many she's had. Really, the point is that this is a proof of a desire, an unfulfilled desire. And the only way to meet this kind of a desire is really through worship of God. The only way you can meet this kind of desire, of course, now a natural man will look in all kinds of directions, natural directions, for this quench, to quench his thirst. But the only real way is through a worship through the Spirit of God, through Jesus Christ. Am I making sense to anybody here tonight, you see? All right, so in your own life, you may have some unfulfilled desire. Now, the only fulfillment is really through the Spirit. This is a proof that you yet have further development in the Spirit for your spirit to unite further with God. Because you can go to all kinds of realms here for fulfillment of the body, and it still won't quench anything. But the real quench of the Spirit comes, or the real quenching of the thirst, is when you're worshiping God and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, can you follow this thought? You see how he's talking to the right woman about the right subjects? I mean, here's a woman with five husbands, and the subject is spirit. The subject is God, and it's to unite with the Spirit to God, see, and so forth. Okay. Now, we must unite in the body realm, and that, of course, brings forth children, generally speaking. In the soul realm, uniting brings forth thoughts, inventions, music, symphonies, things of this nature. We'll get to that in a moment. And in the spirit realm, it brings forth praise, worship, adoration toward God. So the uniting with God is in the spirit. Now we're going to find out that you and I also unite in soul and body. And there is a marriage in soul, and there's a marriage in body. First, I want to talk about love, because, you know, love and marriage, they go together like a, what is it? Horse and a carriage. Yeah, you know. What? I don't remember the words, but I guess you got it. All right, let's don't get the cart before the horse. Let's see if I got that right. D-O-D is a Hebrew word for eros, the Greek word, and it means love in sex realm. This is erotic love or sex realm. Now, the reason I put this one is you can't find eros in your Bible, but you can find this D-O-D in your Bible in the Hebrew. The other one is phileo, love, and the other one is agape love. Now, I'm leaving the one out because it doesn't apply here. Phileo love is responsive love, and agape love is unresponsive. Phileo love means that I'll meet your need if you meet my need. And you don't have to be of opposite sex to have phileo love, for you can have brotherly love, which is phileo, Philadelphia love, and it can be between the same sex. And it means meeting each other's needs. How? Like a brotherly, let's see, International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. That means International Phileo of Electrical Workers. That means I'll strike when you strike. I'll carry a picket sign if you carry a picket sign. It means we meet each other's needs. You see what I'm talking about? I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine. Nearly all of our social order is based on phileo love.
For the second part of this message by David E. Ball, entitled Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage, please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.